last week was a review of 2013, and I ended up sharing some of the things that God was beginning to say, and I'm going to carry on with some of those things today. Sons of Issachar is a prophetic word that was spoken over us by Sue Davis as a people. 1 Chronicles 12:32, that of the sons of Issachar, many who understood the times with the knowledge of what Israel should do. And we need to take that on board and be willing to understand the times that we're in and to seek God for knowledge and revelation. So we need to understand what the knowledge of God is and what we should do about it. Our destiny and calling as a ministry, as a church, is to be forerunners. Now, other people have other destinies and callings, and that's great. And we need to embrace and accept that God has got different callings for different people. But if we're called to be forerunners, then you have to go at the front. And we'll share a lot more about that in a couple of weeks' time. 1 Chronicles 7:5 also says, the relatives among the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor. If you're going to be forerunners, you have to be, like Joshua was called, be strong and courageous. Because there's fights and there's battles and there's things to overcome. And if we're going to be that sort of people, then we've got to be willing to be at the front taking the flak. But it's not easy at times. We're going to cover over the next 4 weeks, four sessions, and it will be four sessions. I won't do any more on this. But those four sessions are going to be revelation of what God has given for 2014. We're going to do part one of that today, part two next week. We're going to look at the characteristics of an apostolic people, and then we're going to look at the blueprints that God's given us for 2014 and beyond. And at that point, we want to encourage people to be part of that journey. As we present that strategy, we're going to look to present the ways God is calling us to do it in new ways. To how we administer the kingdom is not the same as we've administered the kingdom in the past. And we're going to show that the old things have to be left behind to embrace the new things. That's the revelation that God's given. There are new things that he's releasing in these days. You can't do things in an old way and embrace those new things. And we're on a journey. Everyone here is at different stages on that journey, but we want everyone to be part of that journey. But we can't get to the destination that God wants us to get to using old ways of navigation and old ways of transport. There are new ways God's given us, and that's what we're looking to embrace, even though it's hard sometimes to embrace those new ways. Rick Joyner, who's a guy who's written a lot of books, particularly around heavenly sort of visions and encounters about the end times of the church, and they're really good books, actually, The Quest and different books like that. He said this, one of the greatest yokes of bondage enslaving the human race is called the tyranny of the familiar. It is the universal human temptation to cling to the familiar regardless of how bad or painful it may be, and to resist change regardless of how promising it may be. Now, some of you know what that's like. You don't really want to be where you are, but actually it seems too hard to get out of it. Now, God is challenging us to get out of it. Another guy called David Wagner basically said this, God would rather have an amateur in the new thing than a professional in the old thing. Think about that. It's not about how much we know. It's about the willingness of our heart to embrace what God is calling us to do. Now, we are operating according to a prophetic timetable that God has released. That prophetic timetable basically states that what he did in the early church, in the early reign or the early glory, there's going to be a latter reign and a latter glory which is going to be greater. Now, where are we on that? We are at that point there, I believe, approaching where God is going to bring judgment of God's household. Now, we think of judgment as a bad thing. It isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because what God says in judgment is, this is what is right and this is what is me, and this is what is wrong and this is what isn't of me. Then everyone gets the choice to accept whether they're going to go with whichever choice they want to make. Because God isn't going to force anybody. But before that, we're in a position here where God has called us into a relationship of intimacy, and he is, on the basis of loving us, wanting to remove the stumbling blocks and the lawlessness that is in our lives so that he can release us as a Joshua generation, a generation of forerunners who get their inheritance and help others too as well. And that's part of where we are. So as a church, as a wider apostolic ministry, we're called to be a Joshua generation. So we are called to receive our kingdom inheritance, and we're called to raise up and equip the next harvesting generation in the supernatural ways of their kingdom inheritance. That's what we're called to do. Now, not every church is called to do that. Not every ministry is called to do that, but we are. So we have to embrace what it is that we've been called to do, and that's what we're sharing over these next few weeks. Mike Bryant's vision in 2013 was significant. A, because I believe what he saw was right, but also, actually, on the history of the previous words that he's brought us and his involvement with us. And he's finished that by saying, God is about to do a new thing. So we've got to be willing to embrace that new thing. But he also said that there was some old rotten fruit on the tree that must fall off before a new book and a new season can begin. And so we have to identify what that is. And that's what we're looking to do. And in fact, the whole thing of lie busting and that type of ministry is so we can identify those things, lies in our life, mindsets, old ways of thinking that are hindering us and stopping us moving forward into what God has got in a new way. And if we all thought that those things were lies, then we wouldn't want to believe them. They're lies. But if we believe them, it's just we're in a deception. Now, we've all been in deception for most of our lives because we've not known the knowledge of the truth of God. We were deceived until we became born again and came into the kingdom of God. And since that point, God has been removing the lies we believed about ourselves and all the other things in that period. So God wants to continue that process, and so we're able to move forward into the things. We need to open the black book that God showed in that vision, and I've seen some of that. I had an encounter following that where I thought, actually, I want to go and see what that black book's all about. And so because we've got access into heaven, we can go and see. So I stepped onto my throne in heaven, and I saw this angel came with a scroll. And the scroll was calling for a solemn assembly. That's what it said on it. It said solemn assembly, and it said proclaim a new season. And then the angel brought this black book, and I opened the book, and I saw the golden pages that were there. And they contained both strategy and they contained wisdom. Now, I wasn't able to see all the pages. I saw some of them. The first page I saw was an apostolic blueprint, which I'll share in a few weeks' time. The second page was seven mountain thrones, which are the spheres of influence that God's got for us as a church. And the third page was access to wisdom, where paths meet. And I want to explain that today. Now, subsequently to that, I've seen two other pages added to that book, which I'll share another time. Now, there is always opposition to fresh prophetic revelation. Always. You had it in the Old Testament. The prophets were always persecuted. Jesus warned of the leaven of the Herod and Pharisees. He warned of that. The political and the religious spirit that would oppose the new thing that God was doing, the church. Now, look at the early church. Who opposed them? The old religious system, the Judaism system, tried to infiltrate and make them all come under the law. And when they couldn't do that, they tried to join with the political system and destroy them. And so you had all the things with Roman candles where Christians were basically burned at the stake from the political system, working with the religious system to wipe out the new way that God had brought in. And it's been ever since. Look at the history of the church. Any new things that God has brought, the enemy has tried to oppose and wipe out. Just as the enemy tried to wipe out Moses, he tried to wipe out Jesus, even by destroying a whole generation of people. And actually, the enemy is trying to destroy a generation of people through abortion and through other things in the world today. Because he does not want this end time generation to be raised up to actually do it. So we've got to be careful that we see that leaven, which is like yeast, and when you put a little bit of leaven in a lump of dough, Jesus said it would actually infect the whole dough, so we've got to be really careful. Jezebel's spirit is often associated with that type of opposition. And someone sent me this, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, where there is a strong prophetic voice, somewhere Jezebel will be creeping in the shadows. She stirs up misunderstanding between the people of God. She lures hearts and minds to a vile stream that is filled with judgments, criticisms, and false accusations. Do not agree or partner with her evil ways. She has an appearance of purity, yet is full of death and decay on the inside. She has a form of godliness, but denies Jesus by her fruits. By flattery, she leads the people of God into agreements with darkness. Dishonor marks her ways. Her laugh rings with satanic arrogance and pride. God will exalt truth. Truth will be your vindication. Vindication comes from the Lord. Create space for God to move. Silence is the best weapon you can use when confronted with the Jezebel spirit. Give her no words to burn. So we're not going to fight with people. We're just going to present the truth. And then we're going to stick to it. This is what we're doing over the next 4 weeks. First half of 2013 was a battle. It was a battle with that political and religious spirit. And we had to learn how to deal with those things. And it was all about government. It was all about who was going to be ruling, who was in charge. That was the battle that was going on. In June, we were halfway through a 3-year period of preparation that God has given us. And that was a significant turning point. And there were some things that happened personally with my own ministry that God challenged me to accept my destiny. And I struggled with that. And I struggled with the things that were going on here. But I gave in, basically, and accepted the call that we have as a ministry to be a resource to the rest of the world, not just in this little place. And there was a shift and a breakthrough, and God gave me a silver trumpet, and I shared about that last time, but it was like to blow it. And then realms of revelation just opened. As soon as that took place, those realms opened up in a whole different dimension. And that happened when we were here in Joshua Generation Groups. It happened in my own personal things. God started to open up and reveal things in a whole different dimension. Now, I brought this word to our group of leaders at the time. I want to share it with you. And this is what God said to me. He said, I'm calling you to share your heart tonight. Blow the silver trumpet, set order the order of the camp, call forth the foundations and anoint them with the oil of joy and gladness. I have chosen you to inspire a generation, to raise up a Joshua generation. You must focus on that mission. It's carried on and says, freedom is to be a Sandhurst or a West Point, to raise up officers for the next generation, those capable of leading into battle. Officers who understand and outwork strategy and battle plans. You must be able to fast track people. I've given you all the tools of ministry and revelation you need to quickly get people on the right track. Raise up rulers in the heavenlies to occupy and rule from your seven mountains. Establish the ministries that will enable fast tracking. Seek wisdom in the place where the paths meet on the heights, and wisdom will be your guide on this journey. And that is a really significant place. I'm going to spend some time explaining that. I was in the river of life in heaven, actually in one of the Joshua Generation Groups, where we were doing these exercises, and I thought, I'm just going to lie at the bottom of this river and, hey, just look while everyone else is exploring. I'm just going to stay at the bottom. And I was there on my back looking up, and there was no diffraction. It was all clear, and I could look into the atmosphere, and I saw this large eagle-like bird come down. It's like we were watching The Hobbit yesterday, and the people were saved by these great big eagle-berg things, and it was just like that. And I saw this bird swooped down, but I wasn't afraid. And I put my arms up, and it came down, and it picked me up by its talons and lifted me high into this place. And I'd never been there before in this way. And I went into the realms of the kingdom, into this judicial place, and it was like a court with a bench. And I was stood before this bench. And sitting behind this bench was an amazing beauty called wisdom. And it was a person. And I was looking there. She was arrayed, because it was a she, and she was arrayed in blue, and she was sparkling with blue light, and an absolutely amazing sight. And I was absolutely gobsmacked by looking at her. Now, she told me that if I pursued her, she would release great wisdom and insight concerning the ancient past that I must still tread. So I was pretty caught up by that. So I thought, hey, I really need to pursue it. So I began in my own personal times with God to pursue wisdom. And then basically she said, the greater works of Jesus that you have been commanded and authorized to do are ancient ways, far beyond what you can presently imagine or think. As you walk on the ancient paths and use the ancient doors, the ancient ways will be revealed to you to do the greater works. Now, I was really interested in that, being someone who's inquisitive and wants to know stuff. So, okay, what does that mean? You know, what are these ancient paths? What are these ancient doors? What are these ancient ways? And how is that going to enable us to do things that we don't even see right now? So it's a pretty exciting time. And this is where this comes from. I would encourage you to read Proverbs 8, Proverbs 9, because it talks about wisdom. And you'll find that wisdom was there before the creation of the universe. Now, that's a really interesting fact, but that's what it says. And this is what it says in Proverbs 8, 1. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. So that is where you meet with wisdom. Unless she comes and meets with you. So that's where I thought, I need to go. So where's the heights? You know, where's the way? You know, where do the paths meet? Then it says beside the gates, at the opening of the city. What gates? What city are we talking about? At the entrance of the doors. What doors? I mean, just that 2-3 verses opens up a whole realm of where on earth is that? What is this talking about? And wisdom I'd met and told me to pursue this stuff. So for me, it was like, hey, I need to find out where these places are. I need to go there. I need to experience these because this is where we're going to get revelation to take us further. The heights, the way, the path, the gates, the opening to the city, the doors, all those things. Now, I've shown this picture before of the realms of heaven, but I've not really put where those things are. And you have 7 realms of heaven. Kingdom of earth, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens, perfection and eternity. 7 different realms, and within those realms, there are other dimensions that we have to engage with. And there's a timeline that runs through it. So what I actually discovered was, here is where the heights are. Here's where the gates are. Here's where the paths meet. All these paths are places in the realms of the kingdom that meet along that way, which is the timeline. And those doors give you access to under the earth, where I've been under the earth. I've seen Tartarus, where the angels who left their first estate are chained up. I've also been into Satan's trophy room, which I'll share a little bit later. Those doors give us access to under the earth. They give us access into the atmosphere of the earth. They give us access into earth. And they give us access into the stars. Those are the 4 doors I've seen so far. There may well be others. But those things are there. Another diagram to show that is, you remember when Adam fell, he was removed from the garden of God. The garden of God is in the realm of heaven, where there's Mount Zion and where there is the city of God on a mountain, and the garden of God is there. Before Adam fell, this is where earth and heaven overlapped. And now earth is placed out into time and space, into this realm. But remember what happened? God placed 2 cherubim and a fiery sword. The fiery sword was actually a living creature to guard access into this realm. So Satan has access in here to those doors, just as we have access to those doors, but he can't go any further into the gate where the paths meet. Can't access into the garden of God, into heaven and above into those realms. But he does access into these 2 realms down here, the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of God, and the atmosphere of the earth around there. So that's essentially where I found those places are. Now, in the new things that God has given us revelation of, we need to understand that the kingdom is about administering righteousness and justice. And so the kingdom is about a judicial place of authority, because a king has a kingdom, and in that realm of his kingdom, he makes the laws. And then his lords administer those laws, whether it's a government or whether it's other things. There is a cabinet or things. There is an administration of the laws of heaven that happens through those different courts. Now, I've been into 7 of those 8 courts so far. Not been up there or not been in that one, but I've been into the others. So where are those courts in relation to the doors? The court of war and the court of angels is in the realm of the kingdom of God. the court of scribes and the court of chancellors is in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and then the court of kings and the court of the upright is in heaven, in the realm of heaven. And so we get access to those things. And who gives us instruction? Wisdom. So by engaging here, where the place, the gates, and where the heights are, and where these paths meet, and along the way, we get access into the protocol of the kingdom of heaven, and that's what God has called us to be able to administer. Proverbs 8:12 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. Verse 15, by me kings reign. So if we're going to operate as kings, because remember, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so there's a process of maturity into lordship and kingship to eventually become the manifest sons of God on the earth. So kings reign through wisdom, and rulers decree justice through wisdom. Princes, by me, wisdom, princes rule, and nobles, all who judge rightly. So our engagement with wisdom and understanding the protocols of the kingdom of heaven and the courts of heaven are to be found with wisdom. And wisdom will give us what we need and direct us. Proverbs 8:31. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. That's wisdom talking. She delights in our sonship. She delights in having relationship with us because she's been called to give wisdom to the sons of men so that they'll be rejoicing in this world, in this earth. Verse 34 says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. That's where we need to be, engaging with wisdom daily. It's not a one-off experience. It's not something we do. It's something that we need to engage with daily. Now, a lot of people would say, well, why are we doing this? Well, can't we just meet with God? Absolutely, we can meet with God. But God actually has appointed wisdom to the sons of men. So we need to follow his appointed way. He is the one who's appointed wisdom. He doesn't get jealous because he's appointed wisdom for us so that we can engage with her. Proverbs 9:1-3, wisdom has built her house. And what house has she built? I imagine there's loads of houses she's built. One of them will be the house of our life. Another one will be the house of the kingdom of God. Another one will be the house of the church. She's hewn out her seven pillars. So each house has seven pillars that form the foundations of that house. It's really important that we find out what those seven pillars are. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Sounds very much like Psalm 23. She has sent out her maidens. So who is wisdom's maidens? I would hazard a guess that there are seven of them and that they're the seven spirits of God that we need to engage with. She calls from the top of the heights of the city. She is waiting and calling for us to come. And for many, many years and many, many centuries, people have not engaged there. But God is opening up this realm for us to engage there more and more today. So Proverbs 8:2 talks about the paths and they meet and the way. Proverbs 23:23 says the paths of righteousness. Proverbs 39:24 talks about the everlasting way. Isaiah 35:8 talks about the highway of holiness. Jeremiah 6:16 talks about ancient paths. See, the whole Bible is filled with these pictures of being on a journey, on a pathway, and God has given us revelation of what that pathway is. Now, I want to read two scriptures from Jeremiah 6. 1:16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways, and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Awesome. And you know what they said? We will not walk in it. Now, how sad is that? When God is basically saying, here is the way, Here are the ancient paths. Here's the good way. You're going to find rest for your soul. The same thing that Jesus said, when you come to him, he will give you rest for your souls. When you take his yoke on you and learn from him, because he is gentle and humble in heart, the same thing Jesus said, he gives us the same opportunity. Are we going to say the same thing? We're not going to walk on it? Jeremiah 18:15 says, "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods. They have stumbled from their ways and from the ancient paths to walk in byways, not on a highway." So it's possible for God's people to be walking on byways and have forgotten the way that God has called them to walk. And we all have to ask ourselves, what path are we on? Because I don't want to miss being on that pathway that God has prepared. The highway of holiness, the everlasting way, the ancient paths. I went to my mountain and I went on my throne. And for the first time in this encounter, which was last year, it was mobile. And the throne took off and went up to a hall of revelation in the mountain of God. And it was like a training center. And I was encouraged by Wisdom, because I met her there, to enroll in the courses that will bring me revelation of the positions from each of the seven spirits of God in their official duties. And this is what she said to me. They have official duties, and you need to enroll in some courses and get revelation. Now, it was actually at this time that Deb had a download on her tablet of the seven spirits of God and all their function. Supernaturally, because she never asked for it. So God is giving us opportunity to engage with the seven spirits of God who are there to tutor and train us. And then it went on and Wisdom said, and to engage with certain men in white linen who are my governors and assigned to my mantle. And I thought, what on earth is all that about? Because these things are new things. I think, you know, I have a lot of these encounters, but it doesn't mean I understand them. And I didn't understand this fully. So when I get an encounter, then I go back and I meditate on it and I go back to it and I ask God to give me further revelation on it. And he takes me to scriptures. He takes me to other things so that I can understand what these things are. So we need to learn how to engage with the heavenly realms. We need to learn how to discern what God is saying when we meet with him in this way. I had another encounter where I met Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, you'll find in the Old Testament. You'll find him meeting Abraham. You'll find him in the New Testament, in Hebrews. He is the treasurer of heaven, and I met him in his treasury room. And he gave me some revelation about finances and about things that he has out in the nations for us. But in relation to where we are now, Melchizedek is king of Salem. Therefore, he has a connection to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, Mount Zion. And that's where the treasury room is. And in this encounter, he talked about new beginnings, again, where ancient and new paths meet, where the old order is replaced by the new order. And there is an old order of the fivefold ministries that, because they've been adulterated and perverted by men to create their own empires and their own recommendations and validations, God is ending it. And they're starting right now to end. It's the beginning of the period where those things are coming to an end, because those things were only until the people of God were brought into sonship and to be able to serve the purposes of God in their generation. And this time is coming to the end. Now, God is establishing a new order. That new order is the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek, God is setting up to release people into the fullness of their sonship. The old orders will not do it any longer, and there's a new order which is being setting up. I'm not going to talk any more about that now. Now, it is our destiny, all our destinies, to rule and shine like stars, like the stars in the sky. It talks about it in Daniel and other places. We have to therefore take responsibility of lordship, kingship, and sonship. Now, we're all at different stages where this is going on in our lives. Now, some of us are still at the stage where we're learning to be servants and stewards and friends, so that we have revelation of who we are our identity in God, but that goes on into lordship, kingship, and sonship. And that can only take place in the realms of heaven, where we can occupy and access the mountains and the thrones and the positions of authority that we have there in heaven. And according to Galatians, we need to be tutored as sons, because while we're children, we cannot fully enter into the fullness of who we are as sons of God. So we're tutored, and the seven spirits of God are our tutors. And they're there to tutor us in the positions of authority we have in heaven. And we're going to engage with those in the next year. And as a result of that, there will be investitures where people will be given crowns, scepters, mantles, weapons to operate in heaven so that heaven can be manifested on earth. And each one of us is called with spheres of kingdom authority in our own lives to rule in the heavenly places. These are the new things that God is revealing to us, and therefore we have to equip people to occupy those authority places and to come into the fullness. Now, I had another encounter where I was taken out into the solar system, and I could see the earth, and I could see the Americas and Africa and Europe, and it was like, I don't know where I was, but it was the size of a football, the world, and I was able to take it in my hands and place it within my heart, within my belly. And that changed my heart. It changed my heart towards our outward ministry and towards being an apostolic resource. It changed my heart in engaging. And when I took this into my heart, it enabled me then to be more proactive in reaching out to people around the world, which is what God was calling me to do. But I was being somewhat resistant to it because I knew the implications of time and everything else. But as I took this world into my heart, it changed my heart. And God will call us to take things within us which will cause us to change our heart and our affections and our desires, which will move us more into what God's calling us to do, our destiny. Now, as soon as I did that, fulfillment started to take place within me, and fulfillment of the things that God's calling us to do as being a resource. God started to open the doors, and I shared about that last week. Then I was taken to a mountain in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and this was a place I'd never been before, and I went into that realm. I'd been into the realm in the kingdom of God and had mountains there, and I was given this mountain and a throne, and I was enthroned, and Jesus gave me a crown, a new crown, a scepter, and an orb. And the orb is that round thing with a little cross on that Queen Elizabeth has when she's on her throne, and it gives you a level of authority in kingship to be able to make laws. Now, I was then shown a new courtroom, and I was taken to where the cloud of witnesses are, where there's a huge gallery. The only way I can describe it is the scene from Star Wars where they were on the home planet and where the Republic Council met. And there was just these enormous galleries full of the cloud of witnesses. Those are the saints of old who have gone before us. Those were the ones who are the cloud of witnesses around us. And when we think of where a relay takes place, say a 400 meter relay takes place, and the first person runs the race and passes the baton to the second person, well, what happens to that first person? Do they pack up their kit and go into the changing room and have a shower? No, they cheer on the second runner. And when the second runner's finished, they pass to the third runner. Then both of them cheer on the third runner. And then the third runner passes it to the last. And they all get together for that last baton so that the person can cross the line and win the race. And that's like the cloud of witnesses. They have fulfilled their mandates and callings. And you'll read about lots of them in Hebrews chapter 11 and in other places. And those are the ones in the Old Testament. But then there's New Testament cloud of witnesses. And there's those who have died in faith. But they have an investment in this generation that can succeed and fulfill their full mandates. And so they watch, and they're there for us. And so I was in this huge gallery, and before me there was 12 thrones, and seated on those 12 thrones were 12 people. And though I couldn't say I recognized them with my natural senses, but in the spirit I knew who they were. Now, those 12 were George Jeffreys, who was one of the founders of the Pentecostal revival, and was a great administrator of that. Then there was William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army. And at the beginning of when he did that, he created an army, and he had an awesome outpouring of the Spirit and did it in signs and wonders and miracles. Then there were Paul and John and Stephen, those in the New Testament who were responsible for writing and administrating various things. Then there was A.A. Allen and Oral Roberts, Francis Hunter, John G. Lake, Gordon Lindsay, Charles Wesley, and Evan Roberts. Now, I would encourage you to find out about these people's lives. Look at what they were involved in. Look at what the mantles they had. Some of these guys had awesome mantles. A.A. Allen had an awesome mantle where he did miracles and signs and wonders, but he set up a whole printing press in Miracle Valley to be able to spread the word, and he set up training courses to be able to equip people. Frances Hunter was part of the healing revival ministries, but she equipped people rather than just being the one-man ministry. She equipped others. John G. Lake set up the healing rooms. John G. Lake also was responsible for releasing people into the harvest field in Africa and did awesome miracles. And on and on. And I would encourage you to look at the books like The Great Champions of the Faith and God's Generals and books like that, which will enable us to see what these men who have been assigned to us as our council of reference, what they have got to offer. What do they do? Well, that assignment that they've been given, they trade into our ministry, and we can trade with them for wisdom in the establishing of the administration of the apostolic kingdom mandate that we've been given. All of them had an apostolic mandate of administering those things, and we need to be able to learn from them. Their desire is to pass the baton to us. In front of the thrones that I saw was a trading floor, and there were many flaming torches and mantles there that were ready for us to pick up. So this is a really important part, and we're going to explore this more over the next 12 months. A few months ago on a Sunday morning, I was in a vision in heaven, and I was engulfed in flames, and I was given this large staff with a golden headpiece, and I went with that because I wanted to know what it was. And I went to the heights again of Proverbs 8, and I met with wisdom. And this was where, remember, there's the entrance of the doors and where the entrance to the city is. And so I met with wisdom, and wisdom took me to the second door. I'd been through one of the other doors and I'd seen into the stars, but I didn't particularly want to go through into that at that point. But this time I was taken into this second door. It opened, and I walked into this place of flames, and this was under the earth. And I went to this place where there was this huge door guided by, only thing I can describe, it was like this Balrog looking creature. Balrog was the creature in Lord of the Rings which opposed them on their journey. Now, I didn't know what to do exactly, but I thought of what Gandalf did, and I slammed my staff into the ground. And basically the door opened, and I went into what was Satan's trophy room. Now, this is such a sad place, because people's destinies are displayed there as trophies. Some of those who have not taken up their full destiny, those who have not yet come into a revelation of being born again, coming into the sonship, there's those lost mantles are displayed there as trophies. Anointings forfeited through sin are displayed as trophies. This is a sad place, but it's a place that we need to engage with, because our family heritages are also there. The legacies that belong to you are there. They're there as trophies. There are mandates to recover and restore our family destinies and legacies. We've been given that mandate. That was why I was given this staff to open the door. It's not just for me to go there. I can be able to open that door for others. And we're going to be able to do that in the next year. Because there is memories of our family inheritance which may have been stolen and lost, so people don't even know what it is.
the sins of the father may be visited on the third and fourth generation, which is a hindrance the enemy can access and legally stop people inheriting the fullness of what they should have passed on to them. But we can remove those legal rights. We can recover those family legacies and destinies. We can stop the cycle of robbery that's gone on. We can get back what's been robbed from us, restore those things back to ourselves and our own family lines to see them come into the fullness of what God has for them. And we're going to be exploring again that in the coming year. Now, I've engaged again with God, and he spoke to me and said, "Son, prophesy a new season. Call it forth. Declare it from the heights." Again, declare it from this place where there are these doors, where the paths meet. Proclaim it. Blow the trumpet. Herald its coming. Open. There's the opening of a new book, new chapters and new pages, a new level of government, and a new fresh expression of the kingdom that's coming. Your position in the heavens is being established, and your pursuit of wisdom is bearing fruit. Continue to explore where the paths meet. Now that for me is an indication that we need to continue to press in to get further revelation of this. Because he continued to say there's a new dimension for a new season. Wisdom, where the paths meet. Wisdom, where the present and the future meets. Son, you must see through the clouds of confusion. And I went back to this place and I met with wisdom, and she spoke to me and said this: you must see through the clouds of confusion, see past the objections and the excuses. Son, see me, look into my eyes. And when I looked into the eyes of wisdom, I was undone and lost. But it was an amazing thing that she started to show me. She said, you see the path ahead and behind, new for old, new for old. Establish the new foundations for the old structures. Establish new foundations for new structures. You are an army that behaves like family. Train the officers to lead. Raise up the lords to take responsibility to build on the new foundations of apostolic government. See, that's what we've been putting into place in the last year. A new expression of government with the bench of three, with seven, with 12. We've been looking to establish this government that will enable us to release people into their destinies, to take up as an army, to take up their positions as officers, to lead the future generation. Son, the light is coming. An increase in intensity that will remove the shadows and the grey areas and will penetrate deeper than before. And this comes from Isaiah 61-3. And I felt this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and the glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to the light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now that is about our ministry and our calling as forerunners and to be an apostolic resource. But that is for the whole church to rise up into the destiny that we have, so that the glory of God can appear and shine from us. Yes, there's going to be darkness over the earth, deep darkness. But more and more people are going to come to the light as we shine, as we express the revelation of shining like stars, of bringing the rule of heaven to earth. Now, again, I went to the place of the heights where the paths meet, and wisdom was standing, holding the upper scales, the scales of judgment. This is a time, she said, where being weighed is coming. You must judge and exercise judicial authority using the scales of justice. Now, there will be times where we have to bring that judicial authority and use those scales to bring justice and righteousness into situations. But then she said, a time of fiery judgment, testing in not compromising, will bring the presence of the Lord and will release blessing and prospering. So there is a time where we will have a choice whether we compromise, whether we go back, where we allow the testing and the challenging that comes to intimidate us, or whether we're going to stand uncompromising in that fiery judgment which is coming, the testing. And if we stand and if we don't compromise, then that's going to bring a fresh presence of the Lord and release a new blessings with prospering, a releasing of the prosperity, which is not just financial, it's bringing us into the fullness of who we are. And after this encounter, I was taken into the sun. Now, the sun is the brightest part of our solar system, and it's like I was taken out through the planets and out into the sun. It's like I was flying, but not quite flying, and I went through it, and I felt its heat, and I felt the flow of the energy of the sun. Now, the sun was created on the third day, and the sun was created light. And the sun is the greatest light that we face in our solar system. Of course, there are greater suns out into the galaxy. But then I was taken and invited to step into the light, the true light. And this is the light, God who is light. And I was invited to step into the light, creative light. And the brilliance and the radiance was immense. It was like the sun to a candle flame. God started to talk to me about excitation, and it felt like each particle of my being was being irradiated and bombarded, both with waves and particles of pure light. And I started to pulsate and vibrate with energy from that light. And it felt like love particles were being excited and energized in my whole being. And I was taken to a place where there was a total absence of light, and it felt so cold and lifeless and hopeless. But I knew in my spirit that all was not lost. I could feel the potential of what it was like when you were in the presence of God. It was like all that energy was stored up, was going to be released, and light started to radiate from me and bring warmth, and everything that was dormant started to blossom and bloom, and light was restored because of the love energy was released as light from me. And this was an amazing encounter. And I knew that the lifeless, hopeless, joyless, peaceless situations that people face, that we have the answer to that when we come into the presence of God, when we engage the true light, when we take up our role to be those who are the light of the world, when we release what we receive from us, when we're salt and light in our communities, in our families, in the places where God has called us to administer the kingdom, then we're going to radiate this light. But you can't radiate what you've not received. And God is calling us into a place of intimacy where we come close to him and come near to him so that we can draw and receive this light of love that comes into our lives and we can release it into the world. Now, I had another encounter where on a Sunday morning, we were singing the four names of God and the four letters of God's name. And as we were doing that, I was encouraged to stand in the corners of the room, which represented the east and the south and the west and the north. And I saw the four living creatures come, and they stood, and I stood with them. And each one of them had a trumpet and a standard, and they were here to herald a new season. And in the center was Urandiel, the church angel. And Urandiel is, I don't know, 60, 70 foot high normally. So normally I only see his legs in this meeting. He's standing with the head of an eagle and a lion. But in this encounter, he was there carrying the standard of the four faces, and fire was coming from him, releasing a fresh passion for a new season. This was a powerful encounter that I had here in this room. And I saw the four living creatures begin to herald and blow forth their trumpets and raise their standards. And each one carried the standard of the banners of the flags that we have with the four faces of God on them. And then as they began to move around the room, it created like a vortex of color and sound and energy. It was like it created this negative vacuum that opened heaven and drew into heaven the things of heaven, a new sound, a new color, new light. In a new dimension, I saw new angels were assigned to us as a church. I saw the seven spirits of God being drawn in to this atmosphere. I saw the cloud of witnesses. They had mantles and coats of different colors. This was an amazing thing. Now, I saw it in the spiritual realm, but I also saw that it's something that prophetically we need to do. And that when the time's right, we're going to pick up those flags. And when people have been raised up into positions of authority and agreement and unity, we're going to do this. And as we do that, we're going to receive such revelation. We're going to see such heaven coming. But this is what we're going to be looking to do this coming year. And in this encounter, I heard the wind of change, an angel, which was going to be assigned to administer this process, the wind of change, blowing away the old so that the new things can be embraced. This was an amazing thing, a new dimension's coming for a new season. And as this new season is about to begin, where the new realms of revelation are about to be released, the pages of that book are going to be available to us. They're going to be opened, available to each of us. So we can seek and pursue wisdom. And she was going to guide us on this journey. She will guide you as you seek her. She's the closest thing to my heart, God said. So do not be afraid that there will be jealousy. See, I was concerned that pursuing wisdom was in some way not pursuing the Father, but see, I pursue the Father in the garden of my own heart. I pursue God, the Father, in his garden. I pursue him in that realm of relationship, of intimacy. But actually, this is in the place of the heights. This is the place where wisdom is, and this is where we need to seek her. And God encouraged me to do that. And he said, Son, I will truly father you if you draw near to me at this time. Draw near into my heart, and you will see from the face of the eagle. See, when we draw near around the ark with the four faces of God, we are able to see through that face. We're able to speak out of that face, whether it's the eagle or the lion or the ox or the man. And as we do that, we speak forth from the place of the name of God. And God said, draw people and first priorities into your heart, and I will give you greater authority and influence. Son, release the sound of heaven, blow the trumpet, herald the new season, sound the alarm, muster the troops. Let the sound reverberate and resonate, and it will draw people, because there are people who belong here. There are people who should be here. There are people that God's going to release to be here when this sound is released. Son, let the lion release his roar. Let the eagle soar. Let the ox snort. Let the man cry out. We need to let God be God and be free amongst us. Son, hear my heart and focus on the main thing. It is time to end the old fruit. The season of the old things has ended, both good old things and bad old things. I'm going to shake the tree violently to remove you into this new season, where the new book will be opened and new chapters and new pages will be revealed and initiated. The blueprints must be clearly established as the foundations and the maps to direct you in the seasons ahead. See, we've been given those blueprints and we're going to express them and share them over the next few weeks so that they can direct us and lead us where we're going in the seasons that are coming, because these new things are going to be open. Now, we've got an opportunity of dealing with that fruit in our own lives, dealing with it corporately. But if we don't, God is going to shake the tree, because he's going to move us into this new season. He said, proclaim and herald a new day, a new season, new depths, new heights, new doors and new chapters will be opened and become accessible. You have a year of preparation before the release of the hunter and gathering angels will be fully authorized. Make everything ready. Be expectant with fear and trembling. See, this is what God has given us, this time of preparation. We must take this seriously. Take it seriously in your own lives. We're going to take it seriously as a church. We're going to do everything we can. The whole ministry of lie busters, the ministries that we're going to put into place to equip and prepare people, we're going to reveal those things so that we can move forward. We can get on that fast track. We can move forward into the things that God's calling us to do. The government must be in place. The council must be functioning effectively, ruling the house and taking charge of the courts. See, God is calling us to establish this heavenly government so that we can bring the rule of heaven. We can start operating in the court system of heaven. I have told you to prepare the house for glory. All you've done up to now is to lay new foundations. Now you must build and have the blueprint revealed and on display on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're seeking to do during this time. Call people to be drawn to the vision and they will be strategically released to you. You must have the mountains occupied and then power, people and fresh resources will be released. So we need to raise up those lords who are going to occupy the mountains of the spheres of authority that we've been given so that we can come into the new things that God's calling us to. Son, teach people to sit at my feet and draw near to me, and I will reveal their destinies in intimate relationship. I'm calling people. Help people to hear the sound and become part of my great harmonious mnemonic, a heavenly, spiritually united resonance which will answer the groaning of my creation. See, creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, waiting for each of us to embrace our destiny. We're going to teach people in this year to draw into the pathway of relationship, to engage God in the garden of their heart, to engage God on the dance floor and the soaking room, to engage God in that place of the bridal chamber so that we can come into the fullness of who we are. Then God said, teach people to clear the busy sounds of their cluttered lives to be able to hear the pure sound that I'm releasing into the atmosphere. We have to get rid of the clutter and the things that we're focusing on, which are not God, those things which are hindrances and things which just get in the way so that we can hear the sound that's being released. There's coming another sound, a mighty rushing wind that will be a sound that's on a higher frequency. This sound will be like when I hovered and vibrated over the matter and space and caused cohesion to take place. That was what happened in creation, and God is going to come with a sound that's going to be like a recreation. This sound will be vibrating at the frequency that will shake the very particles of your being. You'll be shaken from the central core of your physical and spiritual structure, and you'll be transformed by this new and infinitely more powerful Pentecost. This is coming. I'd encourage you to get a book called The Physics of Heaven, written by many people who are hearing this sound and sharing this truth. There's a Pentecost coming. It's more powerful than what's happened before. There will be a new order being established, restored to my original specification, living beings containing the very essence of I am. They will take transformational order. Creation itself will be shaken violently as I come closer, and the spiritual and the natural orders once again begin to overlap. We're going to come back into God's created place. I'm releasing the sound frequency that is calling deep to deep, and many are being drawn into position, being made ready for the great vibrational wind that's coming. This, for the new order to be established, the old order must fall away and die. Those who cling to the old will die along with it, just as Moses and his disobedient, faithless generation died in the wilderness. Son, I'm giving this warning again because many are not heeding my wooing. I'm releasing the harbingers. I will remove the stumbling blocks and obstacles. Lawlessness will be removed from my kingdom. There is no room for discord. You must prepare and be ready, as the sound of the mighty rushing wind that will shake the created order will destroy as well as transform. The frequency of the created order itself will be changed by the power of my voice. Use this warning to shake people out of their complacency and call for a heavenly and earthly alignment. Son, my heart is for you. See, God has been wanting to release this sound. He's been wanting to draw people back into harmony with heaven, this alignment with heaven and earth. And his desire is that we will come. So let's not miss it. Let's be willing to be prepared. Let's be willing to let God transform our hearts and lives, our whole physical being if necessary. And then in another encounter, God spoke to me. And he said, son, my heart is for you. I have long for you to have more of your presence, but you spend so little time with me Now I spend a lot of time with God, and but God wants more. Come closer. Draw nearer. Focus. It's time to get serious if you wish to take the opportunities that are coming. And this is not just for me, it's for all of us. It's time to get serious. Without setting your priorities rightly, you'll miss out. So stop wasting so much time in irrelevancies and fix your eyes on me. God is calling us to fix our eyes on him. God is calling us to come into a relationship with him, deeper and deeper into our identity and who we are as sons of God. He's calling us. This year we're going to look to draw into that place. So we are going to call a solemn assembly that we saw on the scroll. We're going to sound the trumpet. We're going to align ourselves with the frequency of heaven. We're going to engage with the four faces of God. We're going to deal with the old fruit. We're going to open that new book. We want to know who is on this journey with us. We're going to share the vision. We're going to ask everyone to choose to come with us. But we're making no assumptions, and we're going to give everyone a choice. See, Joshua 3:5 says, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst us. And in some dimension, God has done so many wonders amongst us. We've seen so many moves of God. We've seen so many moves of the Holy Spirit amongst us. And yet that was just the beginning. We have to reconsecrate ourselves, set ourselves apart for what God is going to do tomorrow, what he's going to do in this coming year and the times ahead. And even after they fought the battles and they came into the land, this is what Joshua said to the people. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now that for us represents the old fruit, the old ways, the old mindsets, the old ways of doing things. There's the challenge to put all those things away. Verse 15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, as the bench of three here, we've come into agreement that we're going to take this house and we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put away those old things and we're going to be embracing the new things. That's what God has called us to do. We're going to look ahead to the pathway that's ahead. Do you see this picture? Which pathway are you on? There's two ways you can go. You can head towards the light. You can head towards your destiny, towards the future that God has. Or you can go the other way. You can run from it. You can go back and serve those old things that were beyond the river. But we're going ahead as a church. We're going to go forward into the things that God has called us to do. And I want to encourage you over this next period of time, search your hearts. Be willing to allow God to change you and transform you. Let nothing get in the way of the destiny that God is calling to you. He's given us awesome revelation. This was part one of the things that he's been speaking to us. Next week I'll share part two. But Lord, I want to encourage you. Just don't let anything rob you of your destiny. Don't let anything rob you of what God is calling you to. Be willing to lay down your lives so that you can embrace the new things that God is revealing to us, the new ways, the new levels of authority and power that has been released to us. God is doing this all over the world. This word is not just for the church here. It's for the wider people who are hearing the sound of heaven, who are being drawn to that sound. God is raising up those around the world who are hearing, who are being called into the dimensions of heaven. I encourage you, hear the sound. Be willing to come and resonate in agreement and become harmonious to the sound of heaven that will answer the cry of all creation to bring it back into its created order. Amen.